The Sea Maid, rewritten by Kanan Alexander, read by the Muse Calliope. Donna. I was meant to be twins, you know. Wonder how that would have worked out. Seems like Mum had enough trouble with just one kid. Can you imagine her with two? No real reason, just everybody thought for sure she was pregnant with twins. Big surprise when all there was me. I didn't know anything about it. I mean, it's the kind of thing everyone would have forgot after a while. Except when I was 7 and driving Mum round the bend one day, I remember she threw her hands up in the air and complained that I was supposed to be twins, and then we'd each only be half the trouble. And after that, I wouldn't let it alone. It was Gramps who told me finally. Mum denied she'd ever said such a thing, of course. Twins. One boy and one girl. No reason for it, except that everybody knew she was having twins. Her cousin Diane actually knitted 2 baby afghans, 1 pink, 1 blue. And then she went in to see the doctor, and there was only 1 heartbeat. Everyone was surprised except the doctor, who looked at them like they were all mad. At first, I thought it would have been great. Mum could yell at my brother instead of me. Then for a while I hated that twin brother I never had. He was someone I had to measure up against. Someone I could never be as good as, even though he'd never been real. Every time Mum told me I had to study harder, it was because my brother would have. When I decided to go to secretarial school, and she was so set against it, I knew she'd wanted the twin who went on to do A-levels. When I opened my eyes after Davros flung me into a wall, my first thought was, "My God, now I really am twins! Let's see if we really are brilliant." The Doctor. Oh, they were brilliant! They were all brilliant! It was mad and brilliant and utterly satisfying to watch them flying the TARDIS. The Doctor looked at Donna at the same time she looked at him, and they smiled. And one heart or no, everything was right with the universe. He wished the moment could last forever. It couldn't, of course. It was a bit of a nuisance trying to see timelines with his whole time-sense feeling shifted half a step to the left, but he didn't really have to see them to know how this would go. Sarah Jane would go home to Luke. Martha would go home to her fiancé in her life. Jack would go home to his team. The other doctor would try to put him off the ship one way or the other, either with Rose, if she'd settle for him, or with Torchwood, if not. Time Lord-sized ego wouldn't take well to seeing its mirror on a day-to-day basis, and Donna... Donna... As if she could hear his thoughts, she elbowed him and said, "If you were him, and you are, what would you do?" He hesitated, and tried to keep his grin from flagging. "Donna, I might have got only 1 heart out of this, but most of the biology's on track, including homeothermy, enforcing a reasonable core temperature, and presumably fairly congruent neuroarchitecture." "My hardware won't run my software," she interrupted tartly. Donna, knowing as much neurobiology as he did, was going to take some getting used to. Except he wasn't going to have time to get used to it. "I'm not letting the pair of you take my mind away. Find another option." Another option. What did she think he could do? Yes, he was a genius, but some things were impossible, even for him. "Donna..." "Oi!" She glared at him sidelong. The glare became a cheeky grin in a mercurial switch of emotions he was far more used to feeling than seeing from the outside. "That pattern of ours complete yet, spaceman?" He frowned, feeling for the curious entanglement of their timelines. It was a bit obscured, like looking through dark glass, but he could still see it. His eyebrows rose in surprise. "No." She elbowed him in the ribs. "Right then. Got a fair bit of engineering to do on the fly, I'd say." He shook his head. "Just what are you thinking?" He found himself chasing down logic trees of his own, trying to imagine a solution to the problem of Donna's brain that he hadn't already considered and discarded. "Don't know yet," she said, unconcerned. "I'm not changing my mind, and I'm not letting either of you change it for me. What do we have that will revise the physiology instead?" He considered the question, and she smiled. "We're fighting time, and not just because I don't want my neural matter parboiled. I'm going to recruit some help with talented hands. You find a way to keep the other doctor tied up." He stared after her as she walked off. Of the tasks she'd just set him, upgrading Donna's brain might be the easier. The Doctor. Most beings in the universe only argued with themselves if they were nutters. A Time Lord ought only to end up arguing with himself if he'd been careless enough to cross his own timeline. And even then, the Doctor found the arguments consisted largely of snarky comments, as the man he was didn't always get on well with the man he'd been. A battle of wills between two men who thought the same way, who were both exactly when they ought to be, well, the Doctor wasn't entirely sure if he was the irresistible force or the immovable object. He supposed it depended on your point of view, and his double seemed to feel quite strongly. Maybe it was Donna's influence. How dare you! It was his own glare, almost. He wasn't sure he could do outrage quite like the fellow in the blue pinstriped suit. It was just as well he was having this conversation with his double in his bedroom, with no one else around to witness it. He hadn't expected it to turn into an argument. "Because it's the right thing to do," he said, as much as he wanted to keep her, keep all of them. He got a very Donna eye roll for his trouble. What, stranding her in another universe without so much as asking her? "I know I've got practice running away, but that's beyond cowardly. It's rude." "What? How dare this latecomer question his judgment about his rose?" He glared back. "We are rude. Besides, what's rude about letting her have the life she always wanted with the man she loves? Who just doesn't happen to be me. The part where you assume you know what she wants?" The Doctor sighed. Pacing felt better than standing still, and it also meant he spent less time looking at his double. Why was he even having this conversation? This was him. Surely he understood that at a certain point, what a companion wanted hardly mattered. "She wants what all young human women want. Love, someone to grow old with, and Sunday dinner with her mum." Not that he hadn't wished he could break her of the habit, back when he was a new man and Rose thought she was immortal, and he pretended he wasn't. His double in the blue suit watched him, only his eyes moving. There was something unnatural about it. The way all Time Lords watch history unfold before them like a grand tapestry and never interfere. The dry note in his voice grated on the Doctor's nerves. He stopped, turning to his double suddenly. "You're me. You love her enough to go with her." He studied this other self, this man in the blue suit, trying to fathom what might be going on inside a still essentially Time Lord cranium to inspire this kind of 11th-hour... wibbling. All he saw was bottomless sorrow coming at him from a face he looked at in the mirror every day. Rassilon, was that what it looked like? How depressing. "Don't you love her enough to keep her here?" his double said, a hint of anger coloring the sadness. "Or are you too afraid what it might mean if she really does mean forever?" The Doctor shuddered at the thought of Rose growing old before his eyes, still loving him. "Who am I to inspire that kind of love? I don't deserve it. It'll all end in tears. It always does." The exchange was over in an eye blink, the doctors each taking half a step back from the other at the sudden, unintentional telepathic contact. "Psychic entrainment. Oh, isn't that wizard?" the new doctor complained. "I wonder how long that'll last." As for himself, he took care to shield his inner thoughts more carefully. The last thing he needed right now was for his double to find some of the uncertainties lurking about his mind. Not while there was so much to be done if he was to keep the others from knowing Donna's fate. And Donna deserved to be remembered as brilliant. He said, "If we wait long enough for Rose to figure out for herself that this is the best thing, the walls between the universes will have closed again, with her on the wrong side. Her family's there. She's got a life. You have to do it." "Have to? Oh, that's rich. You can take your time lordly superiority and bloody well go to hell with it." He clucked his tongue. "Language?" "Yes, it was," his double snapped. "We don't have time for this." At least in that, they were all on the same page. He sighed. No, we don't. Did you want to say goodbye to Sarah Jane? It might be a bit much, the both of us. He got a head shake for his solicitous offer. You go on. I'll get a set to drop Jack off. Donna. I called Mum. I had to, didn't I? It wasn't like she wouldn't have noticed the Earth being dragged back where it belonged and set to spinning rightly in its orbit, and she'd wonder where I was. I told her I was okay, and it was true. So far, my head felt a lot like I'd just woken up after a night out with Neris and the girls. But that was going to change. Mum was still asking questions when the doctor, the first doctor, the one in the brown suit, walked back into the console room. I hung up. So, Ealing first, Sarah Jane? Luke will be expecting you. The doctor grinned, and I knew that expression from the inside. It was the grin he used when he had to lie. So what was he lying about? I spent the hop to Ealing trying to puzzle it out, but I still hadn't worked through it when he and Sarah Jane stepped outside. No more time to fret over it then. Oi! Handsome Jack! A word! I said. Jack turned from where he'd been talking to Rose and gave me the raised eyebrows and the big cheeky grin. I remembered that grin. I remembered those lips, actually, in ways that... Ew! There are some things you're not ever meant to know about your best mate. Rose muttered something that looked like, It's okay, I'm not going anywhere. But I couldn't be sure over the din of cheerful conversation in the room. He sauntered over. I've gotta say, the doctor never looked so good. There are worse ways to start a conversation than with a man admiring your rack. I smiled. You say the nicest things. Now, how well do you remember your way around the storerooms? He looked surprised. Not quite the question I was hoping for, he said, his voice full of cheerful innuendo, even as his eyes telegraphed a mental stroll through the TARDIS's vast array of storerooms. What do you need? I shrugged. Tell you in a minute when Blue Boy gets back out here and we can put our heads together. See, being partly the doctor is fantastic, but it's a bit of a strain. Human neural matter simply doesn't run at the rate that Time Lord thought processes require without, well, side effects. Continuous electrical stimulation of certain cells takes its toll. Neurotransmitter levels build faster than they can be inactivated. Jack was frowning. It looked horribly out of place on his face. This was what Torchwood had done to him. Not that the doctor hadn't played his own part in that. Wait a minute. Just what are you trying to say? Being the doctor means your head's going to explode? I rolled my eyes. Nah, not really. That would be a bit dramatic, wouldn't it? All the same, it's going to be all bad if we don't do something, and you always were a dab hand with a soldering iron. I probably shouldn't have said soldering iron while he was still hung up on my brain. Maybe we should talk to the doctor about this first, he said. We will, I said, as my partner in crime reappeared with a toolkit and a box of bits and bobs in his arms. He dropped them both on the floor and walked straight over to Rose. Ooh, we're pulling out the big guns, I murmured. Jack took a step in that direction, and I caught his wrist. Let him talk to her. I didn't know Jack had that dark a look in him. I haven't seen her in 140 years, and I've hardly gotten to say two words to her since she turned up again. Don't I get a chance to talk to her, too? I squeezed his wrist, that being the bit that was handiest. It's not like that, Jack. You'll get your chance, and then some. He looked puzzled, but started to relax. Right this minute, we need to act fast, and the thing that's most likely to get in our way is the Time Lord on the other side of that door, I said, nodding toward it. He shook his head. Why will he get in our way? Our way. I had him. Because he's an alien prawn who knows what's best for everyone but him. He grinned. Donna, I knew you were more than just a pair of fantastic breasts. There's admiration. And then there's admiration. I let go of his wrist to smack his arm. Oi! I wanted nothing more than to get my hands into that box of parts and pieces. But the way I figured it, we were probably repurposing either the reverse biofeedback acceleration chamber or the chameleon arch. And either way, it would take both of us plus Jack. The reverse biofeedback acceleration chamber wouldn't be as fast, but I wasn't sure the chameleon arch could turn the trick. It was only ever designed to downgrade from a more complex physiology to a less complex one and set the trigger for the reversal. The other doctor stepped into the TARDIS, his eyes fixed on Rose and the new doctor with that dark sort of look he gets, the one where he's expecting to be hurt. "Well then, off to Cardiff," he said, all false enthusiasm. "Allons-y!" "Doctor," Rose said, walking toward him. The doctor, my doctor, I suppose, since we'd both come out of the same metacrisis, crossed to the console with a familiar bouncing step. He caught Jackie's wrist along the way and dragged her over to an empty station. "I've got this one," he told the proper doctor cheerfully. "Jackie, what I need you to do is..." Jackie couldn't have looked more surprised if he'd kissed her. "Doctor," Rose repeated, "I have to talk to you." "Oh, you're in for it now, Martian," he shook his head. "Yes, now," Rose said, ignoring his body language and lacing her fingers through his. "Three doctors, yeah? I'm sure the other two have got things under control." I smiled and gave him a cheerful wave, hoping Jack wouldn't take this moment to weigh in on the issue. With a last concerned look at Jackie Tyler, the doctor let Rose lead him into the main corridor. I looked at the remaining doctor and grinned. He let go of Jackie and executed the dematerialization sequence, putting us in a holding pattern in the vortex. Then he clapped his hands together and said, "Right! Modifying the chameleon arch!" I went straight to the box of parts and started rummaging through to see what he'd brought. "Jack," the doctor said, "we need to build a neural extrapolator. There's a quantum interpolator down in Storage 3. Bring it up here and I'll tell you what to do with it next." Rose. It was such a relief to be alone with the doctor as Rose drew him along the corridor. She'd spent all that time trying to save him so that he could save the universes, and now there were two of them. Three, if Donna counted, and it was bloody madness just trying to keep track of everyone in the console room, let alone call one of them by name. But just one doctor, this, she thought she could probably manage. At least long enough to buy the other one the time he said they needed to help Donna. She realized she was headed toward the doctor's bedroom, a path her feet had walked so many times she didn't even need to pay attention to it. And that wasn't right at all, not for this conversation. She turned the corner and hoped the room she needed, the room she and he had both avoided so carefully for so long, still lay disused and untouched. She felt the doctor's hand tense in hers as she made the turn, so the odds were good. "Rose," he said, "what's this all about?" She ignored the question and the way he was dragging his feet, stopping in front of the door she wanted and reflexively sending a little thank you to the TARDIS as it opened freely under her touch. The bed was just as she remembered it, the plain black duvet still rumpled. She fancied she could still translate the folds in it into the pattern of limbs where she and her two blokes lay the last time they all three slept together. The memory tightened her throat, and she pushed it away, down into the little box where she kept all the things she learned in a timeline which no longer existed except in her memory, and shut the lid on it. The doctor's, this doctor's, eyes were so dark. Had his eyes ever been so dark when she'd traveled with him? She hated to do this to him, with his eyes so deep and sad, but the question needed asking, and there would never be a better time. Why did we leave Jack behind? The doctor blinked, and she watched as he tried to hide it all away with his old grin, the one that made her pulse quicken and tighten things low in her belly. What? Where is this coming from? He stayed behind to help rebuild the Earth. It was the same old answer, the same old lie. And what could she do? Tell him she'd lived that piece of the Earth's timeline over and over so many times, and it had been a lie each time, and it was time he told her the truth? He'd have some things to say about her crossing her own time stream. Not that she'd let that stop her, if that was what it took. She'd fought too long and too hard to convince Donna Noble that she was brilliant, even if Donna didn't remember it now. She wouldn't let the doctor take that away from her. Not if she could help it. Not as long as there was a choice. No. No, he didn't. It was easy to let her voice tremble as she looked up at him. Easy to let him put both hands on her waist to steady her. We left him there, and you let me think he was dead. I never said, she glared. You never had to. You told the same lie so often. I had to wonder what it was you wouldn't tell me. And what else was so bad that it was better to lie to me? He was frowning. She'd put him on the defensive. He let go of her and started pacing at the foot of what used to be their bed, his, hers, and Jack's together. I've never had a problem lying, Rose, you know that, and the truth was complicated. Oh, that didn't surprise her at all. She and Jack had spent enough time together in enough different timelines trying to find any reasonable explanation that if it were simple, they'd have come up with something before now. Whatever the truth was, she was sure it was going to hurt, but she had to know. She was going to spend the rest of her life in this universe with this man, and she had to start by knowing why he'd let them abandon their other lover, because she'd promised Jack in another timeline that they would come back for him. And whatever the answer was, the doctor would spend a lot of time trying to justify himself to her. Time his two counterparts could use to save Donna's sanity. Complicated, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. She sat on the edge of the bed, where he'd have to look at the still disarranged bedclothes every time he looked at her. So go on, then. Explain it to me.
Donna. The chameleon arch began to slip again as Martha's gaze drifted back to the doctor and Jack.
Hold that steady now, Martha.
I'm sorry, it's all a bit much, she said, anchoring it more firmly while I continued running the connections that were meant to hook the neural extrapolator in. I mean, you're not exactly still you, but you're not exactly him either.
Brilliant Martha Jones, who walked a world in its death throes for a year because the doctor asked her to, found this all a bit much. Bad sign, that. Not that I could blame her. Mind you, the pain and tension of oncoming neural collapse might have had something to do with my own feeling of being slightly overwhelmed.
I know, I said. It's a bit mad, but it's the way it is. And I'd rather this than a life where I never met the doctor.
Her eyes were drifting again. Wouldn't you?
That got her attention back. She smiled that secret, almost wicked little smile I remembered. I'd never realized how much the doctor loved it in her.
Yeah, she admitted. I clipped a connection and grabbed for a fresh spool of centrillium wire.
You keep looking at them. Why?
She hesitated. How much of the doctor's memories do you have? I stripped the end of the wire like I'd been doing it all my life. In a way, I really had.
All of them, I smiled for her, even as I kept working. Haven't looked at them all, but it's all in here somewhere. If it weren't, I probably wouldn't feel like my brain was turning into overcooked pudding.
She winced, but went on. They were lovers for a while, right after the master died. I don't know what it was, really, except something they both needed. And now Jack's out there helping one doctor build something, while Rose is off doing who knows what with the other one. This bit of wiring was so repetitive, my fingers almost did it on their own. The doctor would never have noticed, being no less of a Martian for not being from Mars. But it was perfectly clear to me what she thought they were doing. Bending his ear about something he'd rather not talk about unless I miss my guess. Not that it would bother Jack if they were shagging, except that I'm sure he'd rather be there too. From the corner of my eye, I watched her try not to look startled. They were very much in love once, the three of them.
Oh.
There was a sudden stabbing pain behind my right eye, and I had to stop for a minute. You were so surprised the first time we met that he'd told me how brilliant you were. You have to understand, he'd lost them both. He left Jack and then lost Rose a year later. He didn't always see you when you traveled with him, and that's nothing to do with you, Martha. Some days, he didn't see anyone. All he could see was what he'd lost. I turned to look at her, and she nodded reluctantly. You're not okay. It wasn't a question. I forced myself to smile. It was easier now somehow, even if it was his smile.
No, I agreed, and forced myself back to wiring the connectors.
I need you to do something for me. Get the bioscanner out of the med bay and bring it here. The doctor might try to take it and watch it himself, but don't let him. I need you to watch my bioscan in real time so he can make adjustments as we go. You've seen baseline bioscans for both a human and a Time Lord, and the doctor's too closely involved. He might find himself seeing what he wants to see instead of what's really there. I need you to keep him focused for me. Great big brain, and he's still got the attention span of a ferret. She couldn't help laughing. Okay, she said. Now? She looked at her hands where they lay on the chameleon arch. Yes, 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 I said before I could stop myself. I flashed her a grin and glanced over at Mickey and Jackie. Jackie, help a girl out!
The doctor.
Donna was running out of time. The doctor heard it as she sent Martha off on some errand. Time for Plan B, then. Mickey! Mickey, deprived of even Jackie Tyler for company, appeared glad of the summons. "Yeah, boss?" he asked as he walked over. "I'm going to need you to take over from Jack. Don't worry, this bit is the easy part. Jack, fill him in." He felt Jack's look more than saw it, his eyes still glued to the quantum neuralation array he was trying to finish. "And what will I be doing instead?" Jack asked. "Rasselon, this would all be much easier if humans didn't have such a finite number of synaptic channels." The doctor flexed his fingers to ease the trembling from his constant use of the micromanipulator. "Talk first. I'll explain after." After a moment, Jack began showing Mickey the procedure for stratocladding the receptors. The doctor glanced over at Donna, who was pale and sweating. Her hands trembled, but she kept working. "Donna," he asked, "will you be able to finish the armature?" She grinned without looking up. "Maybe. How close are you?" "Not close enough. We may have to aim for immediate stabilization first, then go back and finish the refinements before extrapolating to the ne plus ultra." "I can live with that," she agreed. "That's the idea." "Mickey's on it," Jack said. "Where'd you want me, doctor?" "Away from here," he said. In the back of his mind, a sort of itch made him suspect his Time Lord counterpart was growing restive, which was one more thing he did not need to deal with right now. "You're brilliant, Jack, but I really don't know what effect your particular non-fluxing spatio-temporal signature might have on the process, and the last thing we need is anything else to warp the quantum alignment field." "Actually," Donna said, "Jack, we need you to go distract the doctor. The other doctor, I mean." Jack's voice was wary. "I thought you had Rose on that." The doctor corrected Mickey's grip on the cladding nozzle as Donna said, "We do, but himself won't be held off forever. No matter how loud the argument gets, I need you to be the reinforcements." "Distract him." Jack ran a hand through his hair. "Tall order. Any ideas?" The doctor took a moment to look up and give Jack an encouraging grin. "Improvise," he suggested. "You're a bright boy," Donna added, "and if you really get stuck, there's always that thing you do with your tongue, your tongue, your tongue."